Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. And with me today again is Jenna Zins. Welcome, Jenna.
Thank you, Father. I'm happy to be here.
Great to have you. Let us pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bless, O Lord, this time together. Open our hearts. Renew our hearts through your love. We ask this through Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Jenna, in the last part of our conversation, we were talking about your conversion and how you came to encounter Christ. And this one of the pivotal moments, one of these sort of moments of encounter, was at the National Youth Catholic Youth Conference in Kansas City. One of the things I wanted to kind of ask you about before we kind of continue with your story is, you know, it's interesting, you were involved in youth ministry at the parish, even though maybe you hadn't had a full conversion.
Right.
Which, you know, is, on the one hand, seems problematic.
Right.
You know, that why is there someone in... but on the other hand, I think so often, it's really very often the story of everyone. It's the story of priests. Mm-hmm. It's the story of people that... You know, engaged in service, engaged in work, we oftentimes get more than we can give.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? I mean, I know the story of countless PSR, CCD, you know, whatever the heck you want to call teachers.
Yeah, any acronym.
who intentionally volunteered so that they could learn more about the faith. They'd be forced to learn more about the faith. And then through that, they had a sincere conversion. And so I don't know, maybe what are your recommendations? I mean, you've worked in parish ministry, not just as a volunteer, but they actually paid you to do it.
Yes. yes.
You know, so I don't know what this very difficult kind of situation of.
You know, it's so interesting. And I think it depends on the work you're doing. So right now, Father, you and I interact so often because I work for the Office of Development and Planning for the Diocese of Columbus. So we're working on behalf of the bishop. So I think certain professional roles and certain ministerial roles, we should be good stewards of that. The bishop, you know, I think is and should be a good steward of who he is sending out on his behalf. Because there is a reality that we're responsible for giving witness and giving information. And so there's a reality that certain roles, I think, require a formed disciple who can communicate well on behalf of a bishop or a priest. But I think on a smaller level, when you're building community, and when you think about what youth ministry is, it's basically just witnessing. And it's walking side by side with people who are in a really weird time of life. That time of life is weird, you know? I don't think anyone who's a grown-up would ever wish to go back to being a teenager. It is so bizarre. Your hormones are weird. You're trying to find independence, but you don't have it. I mean, there's a pull on all of your attention and all of your temptations. It's just the most bizarre time. And so I think a lot of youth ministry is just walking that path with people. So it makes sense to me that anybody walking, you might be five steps ahead, you might be five steps behind, but you're still walking together. So inviting those who aren't perfectly formed, who wouldn't name themselves as disciples of Jesus, but who are interested in the life that Jesus offers, let's go ahead and invite them on a community team. I think that's okay.
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me today is Jenna Zins. Jenna, as we kind of launch forward in this conversation, maybe you could continue your story. So you encounter Christ at this National Youth Conference, and then what happened when you came back from that?
Yeah, I just felt like I had no idea what to do. That's what happened. Was I had this real and true moment where I heard the Lord speak to the senses of my heart for the first time. And my response was, okay, I love you too, Lord. Like, I'm ready to live life with and for you. I have no idea what that means, though. And coming back, and I think most of us, when we look at the way we grow up, we learn a lot from our families. Some bad, but mostly really, really good. But I mean, there were foods I had never heard of because we never ate them in my house. You know, there were traditions I would see other people do for different holidays that I had never heard of or understood because we didn't do them in my house. And so faith for the first time was becoming my very own. And so it was things that were not a part of my growing up. I had to be open to and learn about. Mm-hmm. And it was a really interesting journey, actually. So a big part of, I think, the way I learned to live as a Catholic disciple who knew Jesus Christ and what it meant to have a relationship with him every day and have that transform my everyday life, everyday decisions. I received great formation from NET Ministries, which is National Evangelization Teams. I served with them for 2 years. And again, it was the first time I was seeing things, ways to practice the faith, ways to be devout, ways to communicate and live life with other people who were Catholic. It was the first time I saw any of that outside of my own family. So I was completely, in the best way, overwhelmed with ideas. You know, for the first time, I was seeing parents pray in a different way with their children. I was seeing young people not flirt with each other and not be sarcastic and biting. You know, like all of these new things. I'm like, oh my gosh. And it was, do you know what's funny, Father, is I recognized within myself that I had always desired to live this way. And I don't think I could have ever pinpointed that, or maybe I had given up hope that there were other people like me. It was kind of this dark secret in the depths of my heart, which sounds so weird because I was desiring really good things, but I couldn't share it because it was so countercultural to what I was used to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And you know, you're made for happiness.
Yeah.
You know, we're made for, and when we discover, you know, sort of the fulfillment of our hearts, which, you know, I think should pump us up even more for heaven because,
Amen. You know,
it, if, you know, in discovering Christ in this world, we see such satisfaction and fulfillment.
Right.
How much so when, you know, there are no sort of shadows to,
right,
you know, to block the view.
I mean, oh, yeah.
No, no. The other, you know, with, it's interesting because, you know, so sort of ministry without conversion that brought you to conversion.
Right.
And then, you know, this ministry as sort of a tool of formation, you know, that it kind of helped to form you.
Right.
And, you know, what's interesting is how many people in the diocese, which we're really quite blessed, have gone into some of these lay apostolates like NET, like St. Paul's Outreach, like Focus, like Damascus, everything like that, and the formation that they receive through that, and then bring back to the diocese.
Yes. Well, and it's incredible, Father. So I worked for St. Matthew Parish in Gahanna for about 6 years, and what I noticed was the formation I received, and I chose it, but we had to live a regimented life.
Mm-hmm.
There were rules on the way we could communicate with each other. There were rules on, we had to pray every day.
Yeah.
That was kind of a part of our, for lack of a better term, a contract. And so working in parish life, I met and encountered so many people who I just admire so much because they had this massive conversion, changed their behavior without any regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that fascinating. I mean, I needed this really, I needed to be in this kind of infantry training to actually come out on the other side living well. And there are people who come into that just completely on their own yeses to the Lord. And then through research and meeting people on their, I mean, I needed a little bit of a slap on the wrist.
How long were you with NET?
For 2 years. And then I still have a great relationship with the ministry to this day. And I kept in contact with them and helped them with different retreats and things for years after as well.
And then you came back and then started working at St. Matthew's at that point?
Yeah.
It's interesting, you know, these sort of maybe a little bit of a tangent, but
that's all right.
You know, I've been talking to NET in my role as mm-hmm. the coordinator mm-hmm. for evangelization. And one of the surprising things I just discovered is, you know, so usually they do high school yes. youth ministry, you know, retreats. They'll go from parish to parish mm-hmm. or high school to high school and offer retreats. Mm-hmm. But they're also now working in parishes.
Yes.
And sending
I was on
teams
a parish
to parishes.
Team.
And they're and then also planning teams in high schools
yes.
that are kind of like for like a year yeah. working with a group of high schools, which I think is, you know, is a brilliant kind of model mm-hmm. of these sort of planted missionaries mm-hmm. in parishes or planted missionaries yeah. in high schools that are continuing the work.
I was on a parish team, Father. That was my first year. We spent 9 months in one parish. And ideally, you're supplementing their youth ministry because mm-hmm. it's really hard to find volunteers who are willing to give time and effort
yeah.
into building relationship yeah. with smelly teenagers. I mean, honestly, it's really hard. So we spent a year doing that. But I think the most powerful thing that we did, the best ministry we did, was we stayed with families for 3 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And it's, I'll tell you what, I give a lot of credit to these families who are willing to say, here we are.
Yeah.
You're going to see some good and you're going to see some bad. And we're willing to invite you into all of that and give you food and a place to sleep, you know, and the joy of family life. And what we were able to do is say, you know, like, hey, we want to pray with you every night. And some families are like, we never do that. This is super yeah. weird. And other families were like super excited. So it was just, I think what we got to do best was witness. Everything we had received in relationship with Jesus and in our formation and training with NET, we were then able to show other people. So it just, you think about like this spider web, you know, Kathy's mm-hmm. just gets bigger and bigger because the reach is just getting so much further.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Jenna. You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. And with me today has been Jenna Zins. Let us end with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this time and for this conversation. Bless the rest of our day. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And until next time, peace and all good.